The Gospel is found today in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light."
I love the stranger and welcome refugees. My arms are open, my word is spoken for a shelter. Your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Send me your homeless and tempest tossed. Send them all to me.
Remember oppression, I freed you by my hand. Your slavery ended, you I defended, leading you to freedom, love.
So bring me your tired, your poor, your heart.
When Reverend Bush asked me to preach on the 4th of July weekend, the first thing I did was go to the gospel text for today. Come to me, all you who labor and carry heavy burdens, or whatever translation you use. I wanted to live with that text for a few weeks and just see where it would lead me. And what happened was that these words of Jesus and the theme of July 4th became my coordinates, my glasses through which I saw the world in the month of June. And the first thing that came to mind was this song by Colleen Fulmer. She wrote it when there were the wars in Central America and people were fleeing to the United States. And it always reminds me of these words of Jesus. It's a little paraphrased, but it's this poem from Emma Lazarus that is affixed to the Statue of Liberty for over 100 years. And I remembered my first glimpse of Lady Liberty. I'm an immigrant and I came on the boat. Didn't have to go to the island, but Don came and I came and our two sons, we had then 4 and 2, and 8 suitcases or trunks. We came in October. School was in session, so there were no young people on the boat, just old people or very old people, and most of them couples who had fled to the United States during the Hitler persecution years, during World War II, or in the hunger years after the war. And the United States for them had really been a shelter, a place of refuge. And many of them were going for the first time or for several times back to Germany to visit friends or family or to see the old country or the old places. And they told their stories. And now they came back for the year, so to speak, to the United States. Some couple took us under their wings, and they're very nice. And one day, the last day, it was time to get close to land on the 8th of October, they said, come with us up to deck. And we went up to the deck, and nearly all the passengers were standing there, all staring to the west, waiting for a first glimpse of the Statue of Liberty. And I don't remember really if they cried or said hooray or cheered or so, but I remember this great emotion, this joy when they saw it. Because this statue really stood for them for a refuge and a shelter. And so I have a little special feeling for her. And then I thought how welcomed I had felt when I came there. And then I was thinking of the other side of the United States, of the border with Mexico, and how many people get killed by drug dealers and coyotes before they even reach the border, how many get killed in trucks without air, how many die from thirst in the desert. And I thought, you know, maybe it's time that we would take the Statue of Liberty and put it a little to the other side, just for a while. The next thing what I did was read the Hebrew scriptures for today. And actually, this year we read the whole Abraham cycle. And usually we start with God's call to Abraham, but because Easter was so late, the whole first part was cut out, and then Heather started it with the offering of Isaac. And I read the whole Abraham story, and then I went back to the beginning, what I read you. And then I also was looking at, there are lots of places about the Abraham story, you know, Paul and the letter to and the book of Hebrews. And there it says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out not knowing where he was going. By faith he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents. And I always looked at these words, and the important thing was for me, by faith. Right? This time, the thing that I heard first of all was, he was an exile. He was a stranger. He was a sojourner. And that made it a totally different story. Abraham had to go away from his kindred to a land God was showing him, to the promised land. And how often do we talk about America as the promised land, and for how many people has it been it? I thought Abraham should be maybe the patron saint of exiles and sojourners and travelers. You know, the next thing that caught my attention, I started to keep track. Don showed me an entry for the mission yearbook for June 7th this year. The Latino Churches of the Presbytery of Chicago presented an educational workshop celebrating the 500th anniversary of the birth of John Calvin, a champion for immigrants and foreigners. Did you ever know that? I never looked at Calvin this way. So maybe we should look at it some way. Most of the members of his churches are immigrants. They explored Calvin's theological and social legacy in light of today's realities. Next, we got an invitation from PIN, Pittsburgh Interfaith Impact Network, for a meeting at St. Benedict the Moor. Congressman Luis Guterres of Illinois was going to come and talk about the immigrant question. And so we went to St. Benedict the Moor, and we got lots of handouts. And one of the handouts, I took them to the staff meeting, and we decided to share something with you. So if you would take time this week to read the green handout, especially the thing about Pennsylvania, and you already would be far ahead if you would read that. And the acoustics there were horrible. So some things I didn't understand, but I sure got the idea how heavy the human cost is of the immigration laws, how they are carried out today. And so I have to look for my notes. The one thing I heard, for instance, was over 1,000 people get deported, illegal aliens get deported every day. Behind everyone is a story. Behind everyone is a family. And they had people living in Pittsburgh who told their stories. Wives whose husbands had deported. One young woman came forward and she just graduated from high school, I think Shanley, she said. And she, some years ago, her father was taken away, sent back to wherever they came from. And she told what it did to her life and how it broke up her family and devastated her. And two women whose husbands were gone now, Congressman Guterres told some stories that were just too horrible, families where people killed themselves because the others were gone and they just couldn't make it without them. It was really, really sad. And we were told that President Obama actually could order a stay on these deportations until we have a comprehensive new immigration law. When we were invited to contact him, feel free. Next, there was an article in the Post-Gazette, June 24, young adults push immigration law overhaul. Overhaul, yeah. And it told about young people who are coming out of the closet, so to speak, undocumented young aliens who have lived in this country maybe since they were, a year old, 2 years old, who have gone to school, who go to college, who might be honor students, but they have to live under the radar. And they are coming out and tell their stories. They are organizing or have organized a rally in Georgia, which was last week. I saw actually a little thing on TV. And they are saying undocumented and unafraid because they realize they can't live with that fear any longer. And then it told about a former Washington Post reporter, Jose Antonio Vargas, who announced in an ABC interview and in the New York Times that he's from the Philippines, that he is an illegal immigrant. And he is one of them who is helping with organizing this rally or helped in Georgia. And then I looked at Google and I saw he already has been called to Senate hearings about it. And the Senate has started hearings again. You can Google it and you can learn an awful lot. And I don't want to go into details, but you can see what glasses I got this month. Oh, I have to put this away. There were other things also, as I read, for instance, yesterday in Maryland, there's a great petition underway for the state of Maryland not to enact. What I'm talking about right now, it's called the DREAM Act. And that is an abbreviation for, or an acronym for, Development, Relief and Education for Alien Minors. And the DREAM Act basically says, if there are young people who have lived here always, English their only language sometimes even, if they have not committed any crimes, if they are good students, give them a chance and let them stay here, or not deport them when you catch them. And so in Maryland, they have a law which they wanted to enact, but in the last weeks, people have collected over 100,000 signatures stopping this enactment of the law so that it has to go on the ballot next year again because they don't like it. So many stories I read, so much personal pain. And you can see what these words of Jesus did to me, just living with them. And then I went back to the text to write a sermon, and I could only look at the words of Jesus with hundreds of thousands of immigrants looking over my shoulder. I still believe that these words of Jesus are an invitation to all of us who are carrying heavy burdens, our sins, our old ones, our new ones, our addictions, our fears, our relationship hurts, our sicknesses. Jesus said to all of us, come to me and I will give you rest. I will feed you with my body. I will shelter you. I will hold you close to me. That said to all of us. But all of a sudden, the second part of the sermon, which I didn't even live with this whole week, I just looked at this come to me, that got new meaning. And we have to look at it a little. In order to understand a text, we have to look at the context, because they say a text without a context is a pretext. And the context of this text is right after these words of Jesus, take my yoke upon you, there are two stories. The one is, remember, the disciples go with Jesus through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and they are hungry, and they eat some of the grain, and then they stop Jesus and say, look here, your disciples break the law, they harvest on the Sabbath. And then Jesus reminds them of King David, how he ate the showbreads. And the next story is there was a man with a withered hand. And they asked Jesus, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him? And he said, suppose one of you had one sheep only, and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath. Will you not lay hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a human being than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Jesus' words are a judgment on our laws that put on heavy burdens. The yoke of Jesus is a life-enriching law. The law of Jesus is, he ain't heavy, he's my brother. The law of Jesus is not a law that doesn't listen to the stories of the people. It's not a law that listens to the needs. It's a law that gives life. Part of our service is provided in Spanish. Why do we do that? Because we want to be a welcoming church. We want to be open to the stranger, the sojourner, the immigrant. What's going on? Our next step going to be? I challenge us to get involved for our brothers and sisters. And you know what's just wonderful? I got the bulletin. Did you see who are the people who prepared the communion bread today? Miguel Gonzalez, Estrella Candela, Alfonso Baquera, and I think Marita and Jules are not here, right? Well, oh, yeah, you are too. Marita and Jules, girls. Maria Elena Hernandez and Ronnie Perez. That's, God just moves things beautifully together, right? One last thing. I think of these passengers on the boat Europa, it was called, from Hapag-Lloyd on that October day when they saw the Statue of Liberty and were rejoicing. And when I saw her for the first time. And I think of John Newton when he stood on the boat at night And he writes, amazing grace, how precious did that grace appear the hour I first believe. And you know what he was? He was a human trafficker. And then the law of life, Jesus Christ, became his law. And he had to measure the laws by which he lived on those. And so I wish us the same joy that these passengers had, the same joy John Newton had, and the same power of the laws of Jesus in our heart, that we could welcome the stranger and work for them. Isn't that good news? Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, you ask us to follow you and never be the same. To kiss the leper clean, to serve you in the least, to open our hearts and our lives, to carry each other's burdens and so fulfill your law. And in order to do this, you feed us, you strengthen us, you carry this yoke with us. We thank you. Amen.